This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Kate's people play night or day, they're just not matching what they should do. Keep me feeling blue.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. The football games are Sunday. Problem is they have that Cardinals winter warm-up. Boy, but from 2 to 5. I think that's it's a 2 o'clock game, the Rams, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, the early game.
Boy, I do not want to miss any of that. Well, I don't want to miss either of the games.
So I thought you were going to say you didn't want to miss the winter warm-up.
Well, and that's okay. They do. The Cardinals do a good job of making all the players accessible, and there is a lot of content to be had. But, you know, when you're watching a game, you don't want to watch it like, you know, 5 minutes here, then go do an interview, then go back. Boy, you just want to sit down and watch it.
Ask players for updates on the score.
Yeah. I'm sure, boy, they're thinking the same thing, especially a guy like Jack Flaherty. Is he a big Rams fan? I know he's a big Laker fan. I wonder if he is wild about the football team in his hometown.
You know, I don't know. He might be. Though, would he be maybe a Chargers fan because he grew up when the Rams weren't there?
Maybe.
By the way, Carol Channing passed away. That's sad.
How old was she?
97.
Wow.
According to Wikipedia. Wow.
All right. Let's see. Kareem Hunt jacked a guy in a bar, too. Yeah, he did. It's not just 15 seconds of his life. What about you guys? Would you, if you're the Chicago Bears,
no.
You don't think he should ever get another chance?
I'm not saying he should ever get another chance. I'm just saying that needs to be earned. What's he done to earn the second chance?
I think another NFC North team who might be more in desperate need of a running back. Because I think
he would be better with the pack.
Yeah,
the Nagy connection is so strong.
I like that connection, but I actually like the Jordan Howard or Howard and Cohen combo there. And I know Howard had a little bit of a rough year, but Cohen certainly excelled in
He's
the passing
really
game. He's electric.
Yeah.
So I think you work on your backs you have, and why with such a great team and a young core would you want to ruin that by getting negative PR by signing Kareem Hunt, regardless of how good he is? I just don't see the gain for a Chicago Bears team, whereas a team that didn't make the playoffs that is in need of a running back, I could see maybe shaking it
up
there.
But if you're the Bears and you still don't have the offense that these other teams have and you have a chance to get one of the most electric players in the game.
I think they're a more consistent Trubisky away from a contending for a Super Bowl than another running back away. So I think you work on your young quarterback rather than adding another running back
to the
deck. What
do you mean work on your young quarterback?
Like, you know, make sure
they're going to do that anyway.
I know, but I'm saying I would prefer to have the two running backs they have rather than get into a negative PR issue with the Bears. So,
all right, let's welcome to the program a man who coached with the Rams, who coached with the Saints, one of the most provocative talk show guests in the country. He is Rick Venturi. He joins us now. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
Oh, Frank, great to be with you. Provocative now. That's pretty good. I like it. I like it.
I loved it when you were actually doing media with the Rams, and we would sit there during practice, and you would tell me more in 5 minutes than I would get from 2 hours from the coaches' press conferences. So it was always educational to listen to you. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing really good. It was a tough day yesterday and Sunday, you know, being in here and investing as much as I do into this job and really, you know, enjoying what was a phenomenal 10-week run. I mean, this Colt team went from 1-5 and won 9 out of 10 and won the wild card game. And, you know, just optimism and excitement was at an all-time high. You're probably going back to your days with The Greatest Show on Turf. It was just, and it came out of nowhere, you know, it just came out of nowhere. And obviously, you know, we just didn't post up in Kansas City. Kansas City is really, really good. There's no question about it. And really good in Arrowhead. But I was disappointed because I just felt like that we would, you know, I certainly in my wildest dreams didn't believe we couldn't lose the game, but I just thought we could have played better. You know, we let them dominate early, and in venues like that, you can't do that. But, you know, the future's bright here once you get your feet back on the ground. They've got everything that we wanted with the Rams that I think we only had in the Vermeule era, and that is ownership, management, coaching, young core of players. It's all arrow pointing up. So, you know, I think the Colts have a chance to be pretty solid for a while.
Tony La Russa used to use the expression, men, not machines, that guys can have off days at the office. And Andrew Luck, who's been so great, just was not razor sharp Sunday, was he?
No, he was not. I thought that, you know, I thought our whole team actually, Frank, I for lack of a better term, just got overwhelmed. I mean, we came out of there, we dropped the first third down pass. We get stymied the second time, and in the meantime, Kansas City takes a defense that had been playing pretty good and just goes up and down the field. I mean, it looked like fast break. It looked like the greatest show on turf, really. I mean, it was that fast, and I don't believe we ever recovered. I think that, you know, and then once we get in there, and what you know about Kansas City, and it's true of New Orleans as well, and that's significant for this week's games, is those are, along with Seattle, probably the three toughest venues in the National Football League. And where the venue matters is when a team gets the edge on you, when they get the momentum and they get on top of you. And then that's when the crowd and everything speeds up. I had warned these people. I had done all my study for my TV stuff, my TV show, and I had warned them that Kansas City was giving up 34 points a game on the road. They were 31st. So, you know, the analytic on the top looked terrible, but when you peel the onion a little bit, they were only giving up 18 at home, which is, I've never seen a differentiation like that. You know, but it all comes down to, you know, getting those early leads, and then Kansas City has one strength on defense, and that's they have three really good pass rushers. And so if you get the advantage, then, you know, you have a chance to win. I mean, I can remember the greatest show on turf, even though they weren't maybe the best defense in the world, but what Lovey and those guys did a great job of was turnovers. So when Kurt and Marshall and those guys got the lead, what that defense was able to do is really turn it loose and getting, get the turnovers. It was complimentary in that sense. And, you know, boy, that, you know, when Kansas City gets that lead on you, then they can turn those three guys loose and make it very difficult on you.
So let's break down a couple of these games. One of the most intriguing, certainly from our perspective, because we have such a dislike for Stan Kroenke and the Rams, is the New Orleans Saints hosting the Rams. And this matchup where Sean Payton really went after Marcus Peters with Michael Thomas. It was 12 catches for 211 yards. And then afterwards, you know, Peters, you know, vowed revenge. If you're Sean Payton and you've seen how Marcus Peters has been so ineffective this year, do you have part of your game plan go right at this guy because he's a huge weakness for the Rams, or how do you see this?
Well, the first thing that you got to understand is that this is an icon weekend. The NFL, Frank, after a couple tough years of struggle, couldn't have scripted a better season and couldn't have scripted a better finish. I mean, the four teams are wire to wire. They're four best coaches in the league. They're four great quarterbacks. There's great players all over. There's great venues. And so, you know, when you take it specifically to the Sean versus Sean, and, you know, we all share our feelings about the Rams. I don't think there's any question about it. And after years of muddle and poor decisions, you know, after Dick left, really, when an effect happened, they finally hit the jackpot. I guess a blind squirrel find an acorn if he digs long enough. But they really did hit the jackpot with Sean McVay, who I knew very well. And people looked at that as a 31-year-old kid, and they couldn't believe it. But he's a prodigy. I knew him from my days in Tampa with John Gruden. He was, you know, strong enough to hire a Wade Phillips, who complimented him, you know, in his 70s with steadiness and great defensive mind. And, you know, they hit on Gurley, they hit on Goff. So, I mean, they, you know, for a team, like I said, that was mired in the mud, they have really made the correct decisions. Now, if you look at that game in terms of the analytics that matter to me, scoring offense, scoring defense, turnover differential, points given up per game, QBR, the best team in the four is the New Orleans Saints. The best team in the four, the team with no liabilities analytically, is the New Orleans Saints. Now, they did struggle at home, so they showed vulnerability last week against the Eagles. They could have very easily lost that game. But going to Sean Payton and the Peters matchup, or the offense versus defense, there's nobody that is a better pure game day offensive coach than Sean Payton. He does the best job in the league of utilizing his personnel into matchups, you know, and a lot of it's check with me. They'll get in formations, they'll move, they'll let Breeze call it at the line, they get ideal plays. And the two guys that get the feature, the two guys that you have to stop, that he will move all over, and, you know, he'll make it very difficult for Peters or anybody else, is Thomas and, of course, Kamara. Those two guys, if you really study the tape and you look in detail, those really are the money guys. Ingram's the hammer. You know, they've got other good players that are role players. But at the end of the day, he is going to get that ball to Kamara, and he is going to get that ball to Thomas, and they're going to get it from all different positions, which makes it a defensive challenge. And, of course, the kid at quarterback is, you know, he's right there with Brady, in my opinion, in the contest, in the conversation for the greatest ever to play the game. I don't think Breeze gets enough credit. I think we're so Super Bowl-oriented that, you know, it's basically handed to Brady, and you can't take anything away from Brady. But, you know, I think Drew Brees, if it's possible to break every passing record in football and be underrated, he is that. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting game. The Rams are very good. The Rams do run the ball really well, and if you want to control that place down there, you want to establish the running game, and that's another place. And, of course, I coached there for 10 years. And that is an insane asylum. I mean, it really is. And the good news is, when you play in New Orleans, you want to play earlier in the day. You don't want those people to hang out in the quarter till nighttime. So it's the first game. So I think that helps the Rams a little.
But do you think Sean Payton looks at Marcus Peters and thinking this week, let's attack this guy because we know we can destroy him?
I think that's part of it, Frank. I think he'll look at their scheme. He's going to look at every ideal matchup for Kamara and Thomas. I mean, that's his game plan. He is going to formation you. He basically knows that he's got into Peter's head. There's no question about that. So I'm sure that that's a part of it.
We're talking with Rick Venturi, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. All right, let's go to the AFC game. How wildly impressed are you with Patrick Mahomes and what you're seeing?
Oh, he's absolutely tremendous. I mean, the ceiling for that kid is, you know, beyond the pale. He's got great, great arm talent, tremendous athlete. You know, the stages just aren't too big for him. And, you know, as you know and everybody else now knows, the kid grew up in major league locker rooms. I mean, he's not in awe of anything as a rookie. As a matter of fact, I was impressed on that first 4th-and-1, he was yelling at Andy to go for it. I mean, he has enough recklessness and enough recklessness, but enough discipline to be that good. I think his real strength has two real strengths, and I was hoping that we would be able to stop him, and I think we took away one, but that was it. Is he throws an exceptional deep ball. I mean, he can throw it. I mean, he can throw that deep ball. If you let somebody get behind him, he can air it out. I mean, he has a gun. But the other thing, he's like Ozzie Smith playing quarterback. I mean, he can throw from any platform, either side, left, right, no look. He is the best playground player in the National Football League, no question about it. And the only guy to me that has reached that I played against in all those years in terms of that you know, being able to run, throw full speed, torque your body was John Elway in his early days. I mean, this kid can do it. He's just amazing. So, I mean, I think if you're going to beat him, and I think Belichick will try to come up with a good plan, won't be easy because they're multi-skilled with Tariq Hill, and, of course, Kelsey's a money guy. Their running back, Damian Williams, is better than people think. He's kind of come out of the ground. I mean, nobody ever heard of him 3 weeks ago. But Mahomes is just absolutely fantastic. I think the only way you're going to beat him is you're going to have to keep him. I use the term inside in front. You've got to keep Tariq Hill in front of you, and you got to keep Mahomes in the pocket. And that doesn't mean that he can't beat you in the pocket. He's not like a Deshaun Watson or a Mariota who kind of, if you keep them in the pocket, their efficiency, you know, just falls off exponentially. Now, he can still throw it, but I still would like to take away the big play ability, and those big wow plays come on the deep ball, and they come when he gets on the move.
You mentioned the Rams' success, and I think you put it well. I always thought it's a little bit like the Astros and the Cubs and the Royals for a couple of years, that if you're that miserable for that long and you get all those early draft picks, eventually you're going to succeed, even if you have Kevin Demoff in your front office.
Well, you're going to succeed because you're able to pick an Aaron Donald. You're able to pick a Todd Gurley. I mean, you're able to do those things. And then the thing that they had to do is they had to get a coaching staff that could come in then and run the show, and they did. I mean, I didn't mention the quarterback, but Goff was, what, second pick in the draft. So I think you're absolutely right, Frank, in that. But I think when they put the McVay-Phillips team together and the staff that's with him, then they gave themselves a really, really good chance.
One of the things we were discussing earlier today is Kareem Hunt. Matt Nagy, who was his offensive coordinator in Kansas City, is considering it. How do you, because you know about personnel decisions and you've seen volatile players in the past, how would you handle this thing? Would you give him another shot?
Well, you know, I would have to be right in the middle of it. I am not, you know, I am much more of a mercenary than most people. I mean, I coached 41 years. I knew what it was to be fired and go home and tell my family that they had to move the next day. And so I'm a little bit more liberal when it comes to acquiring talent. I think you take every individual situation as it comes. I think you research every single one. You weigh the pluses and the minuses. You weigh the remorse. You weigh all those things. But I'm going to say one thing. I mean, there's only so many guys that are difference makers. And the NFL great teams are the teams that are very good at the top 10 players on their roster. You go back and forth. All these four teams right here that are in the finals, they have terrific players in that top 10. And there's only so many guys out there. And there's times, I think, that you have to be flexible. Everything is individual, but there's only so many guys that make a difference. Let me tell you this. Tariq Hill, if Kansas City hadn't taken a chance on him and there was every reason in the world to reject him, they wouldn't be the team they are. So, you know, we still are in the entertainment business. This isn't the Mormon Tabernacle Choir on Sunday. And so, I mean, I think you take a long look at every option.
One final thought before we let you go. Do you have one great story as we root for the New Orleans Saints to beat the Rams? Do you have one great story of the ineptness of the organization you used to work for in St. Louis? Something Kroenke or Demoff related that jumps out at Rick Venturi?
Oh, my God. You should have given me a little head up. It would be really hard for me to really label one thing. But my feeling all the time was, my feeling when I was there, and matter of fact, the Rams situation was one of my biggest disappointments in my coaching career, because when we blew up in New Orleans, of which would have been my lifetime home, I was thrilled to death to come to St. Louis, because St. Louis was my childhood focus. When, you know, growing up in Decatur, Illinois, I mean, we came down, I saw Stan Musial play in Sportsman's Park. I mean, we related to St. Louis more than we did Chicago. I mean, it was, when we went on an outing, it was to St. Louis. And so, you know, Mom is still in Central Illinois at 96. As a matter of fact, you'd love this, but my mother never misses an inning of a Cardinal game. She even scores it. She's 96 years old, and she's critical when they don't play well, you know. but anyway, and so, you know, when the option was to go to St. Louis, I went to St. Louis over Miami, and Nick Saban had offered me a good job in Miami, but I took the St. Louis thing because it was like going home. You know, I thought we really had a chance to win there, but it just didn't work out. I love the city. I love it to this day. I miss it a lot. But the situation just, there was something missing. I always felt like that in the building we had tremendous talent. We had talent in coaching. We had talent in the front office. But we lack that glue. We lack that single vision that it takes to be really good. And I would argue until Sean McVay got there that the only time there was a single vision in the franchise was when Dick Vermeil came in and basically took it over and made it happen. So from my standpoint, it was a place I loved living. I loved the people. But I was frustrated because I felt like without that single vision, we never were in position to be as good as we could have been.
Great stuff. Honored to have you on the program, sir. I'm glad you're doing well. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Frank. Great talking with you.
All right. Rick Venturi joining us now, does a lot of media in the Indianapolis area. We'll take a short, quick timeout. Chris Kerber, when we come back live from New York.